He's living in Ontario, but he's Irish descent, so we have that in common.
Yeah, I think you're probably from the right side of the border in Ireland as well, from the name you've got, so it's nice to be here. It's lovely to see so many people. I have been here a few times before in the past, going back a lot of years ago, but it's lovely to be here sharing together. And before getting into the message, I would like to take the opportunity to express our appreciation for your encouragement and support to Deborah and Rob and Jen when she was here way back, and Margaret when she was here. I know, talking to them over the years, they have all very much appreciated Onward and the encouragement that they receive here. And I'd like to appreciate, express that to the pastor and all of you. We sure appreciate that. They're quite a bit separated from the rest of us in faith mission work, and I think they count you folks much as their family, so we appreciate that. And also just to say how much we appreciate the prayers of the church and folks who pray for us in faith mission. Some of you know a good little bit about faith mission, some of you maybe don't know very much, but we do appreciate the prayers of those who do pray for us. I did take the liberty of bringing some of our magazine newsletter and a flyer about a couple of ladies' retreats that we have down in Ontario, and they're back there on the table. If you feel free to pick them up, just feel free to take them. They're all free, and some of that will give you a little more information about what's happening throughout Faith Mission Ministry. We thank God for his goodness to us. Great to see the church celebrating 100 years. That's fantastic. Faith Mission started in 1886 in Scotland, so it's an old mission. But here in Canada, it won't be 100 years until 2027. So it's getting on, too. But thank you again. Let's turn to the Word of God. We're going to read some verses from Acts chapter 11. Wonderful things have been happening in the church at this particular point in time in the book of Acts. I'm sure many of you are familiar with this book and what's been taking place. We have just celebrated Easter, and I am sure that you have all been reminded of what happened on Good Friday and the crucifixion of Christ, and then last Sunday remembering the resurrection, and then how if you read through the scriptures, how Jesus appeared to different ones. And in Acts chapter 11, here we're coming to the reports of some of the things that have been happening as a result of their evangelism, and we'll begin to read at verse 21 of Acts 11, verse 21. It says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. When he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And in these days prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar." We'll end there at that verse and trust God will bless his word to us today. You'll notice in your bulletin the title of what I want to say is, "What is a Christian?" It's a good question to ask ourselves. The word Christian is being used pretty loosely around the world. In some countries, you're either a Muslim or you're a Christian. Or in other places, you're either a Hindu or a Christian or whatever. What is a Christian? I find this a tremendous question to ask, just a good question to ask. I grew up in Southern Ireland, as has been mentioned. My parents went to church every Sunday, and as kids, we were in church every single Sunday. My mom played the organ at church every Sunday. She actually even chose the hymns that were sung every Sunday. My dad was the minister's right-hand man, kind of, in the church, looking after all kinds of things. We were in a very small country rural area. We were made sit absolutely quiet in church. If we didn't, we went to bed in the afternoon when we went home, which was an awful thing to do. Church was seen as very important, but our home was very different when Sunday was over. There was lots of things we couldn't do on Sunday, but it's amazing to think of all of that and to realize that my parents were getting on in years before they realized, in spite of it all, they weren't Christians. What is a Christian? If you were to go out around the streets of Verdun with a clipboard and ask questions, this very same question, what in your opinion is a Christian? And you might have all kinds of answers. I think probably one of the most popular answers would be a Christian is somebody who goes to church. Well, like I said with my parents, they had grown up in the church. They had gone to church. They had served in the church. They were in kind of leadership in the church. But they discovered they weren't Christians. Maybe another answer to the question, what is a Christian? Somebody would say, well, a Christian is somebody who's born in a Christian country. Well, if we take that, we wouldn't have much of an, like Christianity would be pretty loose, wouldn't it? There are some of the greatest rogues and rascals being born in what's termed as a Christian country. Somebody else might say, well, a Christian is somebody who reads the Bible. It's a good thing to read the Bible. It's a good thing to go to church. A Christian is somebody who reads the Bible. I'm sure you're probably aware of this fact that the devil knows the Bible. In fact, he didn't know, it wasn't just a matter of reading it, but he could quote it by heart. Remember how he quoted it to Jesus? Quoted scripture. Didn't make him a Christian. Somebody else would say, well, a Christian is somebody who prays to God. All kinds of people pray to God, but it doesn't make them a Christian. Somebody who keeps the commandments, perhaps. Well, I don't suppose there's one person sitting in this church or one person in Quebec or Ontario or anywhere in Canada who has kept all of the commandments without breaking one. What is a Christian? You know, the popular view of what a Christian is very broad and very loose and very open. Because it seems to me that in the popular view of what a Christian is, that a person can call themselves a Christian, but that does not have any impact on their lifestyle. Because they fulfill certain rules or regulations or do certain things, then they can say, I'm a Christian. But as far as how they live, it has no impact whatever on their lifestyle. I'm sure because you're in church this morning, you realize that really what the popular view doesn't mean that much. It's what does this book say? What does the Bible say a true Christian is? Remember hearing somebody make this statement one time. Duncan Campbell, actually, he worked with our mission. He was greatly used of God in a revival that took place in the Highlands and Islands of Scotland in the last century, about the middle of the last century. And he made this statement, a Christian is somebody who has been supernaturally altered. A Christian is somebody who has had a supernatural transformation take place in their life. I like that. I like that definition. In fact, Jesus used almost the same were a kind of definition. He didn't use the same words, but when he was speaking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he said this, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus was saying that a person has to be supernaturally changed, has to be born again, has to become a new person. That's the person who is changed and ready for heaven. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthian church, he used similar language to describe the same thing. He said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. A supernatural transformation has taken place in their life that made them into a new person. You see, I'm aware, and perhaps you are too, that there are many people who sit in church even, that profess to be Christians, but they have never encountered Christ in a way that has caused a supernatural transformation to take place in their heart and life. A real Christian is somebody who has been supernaturally changed. I want to leave some words with you that might help you to understand what I'm saying here about a real Christian, or some of the marks of a true Christian. It's not mechanical. It's supernatural. A Christian is a repenter. A repenter. What does it mean to repent? It means to own up to who I really am. It means to admit that I am a sinner. It means to acknowledge that I have broken God's law. It means to acknowledge that I'm separated from God. And I come in repentance, in confession of that to God. But not only asking for forgiveness and confessing my sin, but a genuine repenter is somebody who has turned around and is going in a different direction. In other words, somebody who has been supernaturally changed. And now they're focused in a different direction. You see, there are people who have this notion and present this kind of thought that if somebody prays a particular magical prayer, we call it the sinner's prayer sometimes. And just because they say those words, they think they're a Christian. Now, let me not be misunderstood here. Many, many people have become genuine Christians by saying the sinner's prayer because they meant it, it was real, and when they prayed it, there was a supernatural change took place. But just mechanically repeating words like that, do not, does not make a person into a Christian. If it's real, then a supernatural change will take place. A Christian is a repenter. Somebody who has admitted their sin and acknowledged it. Let me use a little illustration here. There was a man in Ireland who was a great evangelist and preached the gospel in many parts. And many, many, many hundreds, thousands of people came to know Christ and were saved through his ministry. One day he had this meeting, and at the close of the meeting he gave an invitation and he said, all those whom God has spoken to and you know you're not saved and you want to give your life to Christ, I want you to come forward and go into the prayer room here at the front. And so in that meeting there were many people who were drunkards, there were people who lived godless, sinful lives, and quite a number rose from their seat and went into that room. Mr. Nicholson, as they had gone in there, he was going down through the aisle to go back to the door to shake hands with people as they were leaving. And halfway down, there was this lady, a very, very sophisticated, well-to-do lady. She stopped him and she said, Mr. Nicholson, I too need to be saved. Wonder if you could help me. He said, if you need to be saved, go into that room. And she said, oh, I couldn't go in with those people. I'm different. I'm not like them. Well, he said, then you can't get saved. And he walked away and left her. She sat in her seat. And then later on, he was coming back up. And she stopped him. He said, oh, Mr. Nicholson, I'll go in. He said, if you're prepared to go in there, you don't need to go in there. And he led her to Christ right in her seat. A Christian is somebody, a real genuine Christian is somebody who has acknowledged their sin, recognized they're separated from God, repented of that sin, and given their life to Jesus Christ. A Christian is a repenter. A Christian is a believer. A believer. What does a Christian believe? Well, of course, they believe about themselves, that they're sinners, separated from God. But a Christian believes what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. Remember what Paul said to the Philippian jailer? Jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him up from the dead, you will be saved. A Christian believes that what happened on that first Easter on the cross was sufficient to pay the price for their sin. I love the Easter time. I love the story of Easter because it reminds us that even though we were sinners separated from God, and even though Jesus was sinless and spotless, on that cross he took all our sin, all our guilt on himself. And a Christian is one who believes in what theologians sometimes call the finished work of Calvary, that Jesus paid it all. Jesus took on himself our debt, our sin, so that we can go free. A real Christian is somebody who is a repenter and somebody who is a believer in Jesus Christ. Not believing in my own good works, not even believing in the church to save me, not believing in things I have done, but believing in what he has done on my behalf. What a wonderful thing it is that we have a Savior who has paid the full price, the full penalty for our sin. And you and I can go absolutely free. Our past can be blotted out, and we can be assured that the slate is wiped clean because Jesus paid the debt. A Christian is a repenter. A Christian is a believer. And friends, a Christian, a real Christian, is a possessor. A possessor. What does a Christian possess? A real Christian possesses the very life of God by his Spirit living in their very being. Paul said that we are now the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Romans tells us that if we don't have the Spirit of God, we don't even belong to him. A Christian is a possessor. The very life of God by his Spirit comes to live in us. Remember one time hearing Dr. Billy Graham. He was commenting on an interview that some reporter had had with him. And the reporter said to him, "What difference does it make, all these people coming forward at a crusade and being counseled? What difference does it make when they go back? They're the very same people when they go back." Billy Graham said, "No, that's where you're wrong. They're not the same people. Now the Holy Spirit dwells in them. And that's what makes the difference." A Christian is a possessor. There's a little incident that took place back in Ireland many years ago that I didn't know the guy who it happened to, but I heard a lot about him. That illustrates a little bit of what I want to say along this point, and it's this. There was a man who lived in Northern Ireland. He was a farmer, but a real evangelist. He didn't have much education. He was pretty country in his how he talked and lived and dressed. And one day, well, everywhere he went, he had a pocket full of tracts, gospel leaflets. And everywhere he went, he was giving these to people. No matter who he met, he would hand them out. Didn't care who they were. I'm sure if he met the Queen, he would have given her one. He was in Belfast City, and he was doing his normal, handing out these tracts. And this man comes walking down the street, and he's well-dressed, looks very proper. And your man, Jasper, was his name, Jasper McGowan. Jasper went up to this man, and he put out a tract and gave him this tract and spoke to him about the gospel and his need to get right with God. The man was indignant when this country man could come to tell him something. And he looked down his nose at this, at Jasper, and he said, "Do you know who I am?" Jasper said, "No." Well, he said, "I'm professor," and he was a very famous professor in Belfast University. And he was despising this country man coming to tell him about the way to heaven. He said, "I'm professor whatever." And Jasper looked instantly up into his face and he said, "And do you know who I am?" And he said, "No." He said, "I'm Possessor McGowan. I'm Possessor McGowan." One was only a professor. The other was a possessor. And friends, there are a lot of people who are only professing to be Christians. There are a lot of people, if you had your clipboard and you asked them, "Are you a Christian?" they'd say yes, but they don't know nothing about the indwelling Spirit of God that has changed their life, that empowers them to live the Christian life the way the Christian life should be lived. There are people who say, "I have tried it and it doesn't work." And the reason why it doesn't work is because they have never experienced the indwelling Spirit of God. They have never been empowered by God to live the way God intended a Christian to live. And you might be one of those people here today. There might even have been a time in your life when you prayed a certain prayer, but it made absolutely no difference in your life. Your life never changed. Your appetite for the Word of God never changed. Your desire for prayer never changed. But you still go through the motions and the routine of coming to church and sitting on a Sunday, but it's just empty. It's just formal. It's just the thing to do. And in your heart of hearts, you're saying there's nothing really in this. And if that's true, the reason why you're sensing and feeling that is because you're not indwelt by the Spirit of the living God. Because when He comes in, Christianity becomes real. Real. A Christian is a repenter. A Christian is a believer. A Christian is a possessor. And friends, a genuine, real Christian is a follower. A follower. Jesus said in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." They follow me. A real Christian is a follower. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and follow me." I happened to arrive in a home last night when the Montreal Canadiens were playing against the poor Toronto Maple Leafs. Rob, of course, is a diehard Canadian. He's a follower of the Canadiens. He plays a little hockey. I've never seen him play hockey. I don't know if there's some Canadian player that he wants to imitate and follow. But I'll tell you this. There are lots of soccer players and hockey players and all kinds of people. And because they've got some one particular individual that's their idol and they're a follower of that team or a follower of that individual, they do everything they can to be like that person. They do everything they can to handle the stick and the puck just like that person does. Or to kick the football just like that, or whatever it is. Way back years ago, there was a little light boxer, lightweight boxer in Ireland that actually became world champion. He was world champion for a number of years, Barry McGuigan. And they tell me that around Belfast, where he came from, every gym for a couple of years, there were young guys all trying to be Barry McGuigan's. They were followers of his, and they were trying to imitate him. Friends, a real Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ, and they seek to live as Jesus wants them to live, to follow him. I struggle sometimes when I hear somebody say, "I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm a Christian, but their lifestyle is anything but the lifestyle of Christ. What kind of a life did Jesus live? Jesus said before God, he said, "Not my will, thine be done." Jesus lived a life of surrender to the will of God, to the will of the Father. A real Christian is a person who has surrendered their life and their will to the will of God. A follower of Jesus is somebody who seeks to pattern their life on the life of Christ, a life of surrender to the will of God. We sometimes sing that great hymn, "I surrender all to thee, my Jesus, I surrender all." That's the attitude, should be the attitude of a real Christian who has surrendered everything to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, if you go through his life and look at the life he lived a life of prayer. Early morning, he was on his face before the Father talking to him. You'll hear him out there in the night talking to God. Before the great events that took place in his ministry, he's in prayer with the Father. Isn't it strange that somebody can call themselves a Christian and have absolutely no desire to pray or to meet with God? Isn't it strange that somebody can say, "I'm a Christian," and have no desire or no appetite for fellowship with the Father? Following him in a life of surrender, in a life of obedience, in a life of prayer, in a life of holiness. What does it say? "Be holy, for I am holy." Our desire that our life would be holy for the glory of God. A real Christian, friends, is a follower of Jesus Christ. A follower of Jesus Christ. If I were to ask you to tell me who it is you want to be more like, who would you really like to be like? You had the option of being like somebody. Who would you choose? Friends, I trust your desire is to be like Jesus. There was an old chorus that used to sing, "To be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like him." Oh, that should be the desire of every believer. A Christian is a follower, a repenter, a believer, a possessor, a follower. And a Christian should be a reflector. A reflector. Talks about the love of God being shown forth or shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. When people see you and see me, they should see something of the reflection of Jesus Christ. The story we read together here is the story of the disciples in Antioch. It says in verse 26, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now, why? This is the question. Why did the people in Antioch call the disciples Christians? Why did they call them Christians? I believe it was because there was something about their lives that made the people of Antioch associate these people with Christ. They saw something in the lives of those disciples that made them say, "These people are followers of Jesus Christ." They call them Christians. The word was never used before that. First time they used it. I heard a missionary one time who had come home from the mission field, one of the countries that's very close to the gospel. And this missionary, a lady, she was sharing in the meeting, and she said that, "I am not allowed to go out and talk about Jesus to other people. But if somebody asks me a question, I'm allowed to answer it." And here's what she said. "I have to live my life in such a way that people ask why." They ask why. Friends, I wonder, is that how you live and I live? When people look at us, do they instantly associate us with Christ? Do they see something of Christ in us that makes them ask about it? If the folks you work with, the neighbors you live near, if somebody went to them and asked them to a little bit about your life, would one of the things they say is, yes, that person is a Christian because they're like Christ. A Christian should be a reflector, the love of God shown forth in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Christian is an inheritor. You notice all these words end with R to help you understand, to remember them. A Christian is an inheritor. What? An inheritor of all the blessings that Christ purchased for us on Calvary. Paul talked about being an inheritor amongst those who are sanctified, those who are set apart. There's an inheritance awaiting the Christian in glory. Oh, what an inheritance that awaits us when we reach the other side. All the blessings of heaven is available and awaiting the Christian. But not only that, but there's an inheritance for us on this earth. That peace of God that passes all understanding. What an inheritance. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. Not like what the world gives. Peace I leave with you. We're living in a world of turmoil. We're living in a world filled with pressure. But to know the inheritance of the peace of God filling our hearts at a time like this. What an inheritance. What an inheritance. The peace of God. The hope of the Christian. What an inheritance. The joy of the Lord, which is our strength. What an inheritance. And so we could go on. A Christian is an inheritor of all the fullness of the blessing that Jesus purchased for us when he gave his life on Calvary's cross. That's the inheritance for every believer. What is a Christian? Sometimes I think when we look back on our lives and we remember the day we became Christians, maybe for many here who are Christians, and you remember that, and you remember if you could just think back to the day you became a Christian, to just how God met with you and the thrill of it all and the freshness of it all. And it was a wonderful time. And over the course of years, it's so easy, isn't it, to kind of settle down and it becomes kind of the normal and we get used to it. And the wonder of it, we lose it. Friends, the wonder of being a Christian is something that's even beyond our full comprehension. It's greater than we could even imagine. What is a Christian? Maybe a more important question to ask this morning, as before we close, is this: am I a real Christian? Are you a real Christian? Do you know anything of that supernatural transformation that takes place in the life of a person when they genuinely come in repentance and belief and faith and trust in Jesus Christ and experience that life-giving Spirit coming within and dwelling and possessing their being and filling them with hope and joy and a new vision and a new appetite and a new hunger and a new joy? Have you ever experienced that? My friends, that's what church is all about. It's people coming into personal, vital, living contact with a living Savior that changes their life and changes their destiny and makes them into a new creature, born again, a new creation, supernaturally changed with all the blessings of that inheritance ours in Christ. I don't really know people here. I know some of you folks that I've met before, but most of you I don't know. Don't know your background. Don't know where you're at spiritually. Don't know what your experience is. Friends, I just want to ask you tonight, today, with all of my heart, to please consider this question seriously. Don't just drift on in a hope-so kind of attitude. Make it real. Make sure The Bible says, make your calling and election sure. Make sure that you know, that you know, that you are true, genuine Christian. That you have genuinely met with Christ. Then you'll experience the blessings that he has for you. How can I become a Christian? Well, if you take the steps that have been outlined already, acknowledge that you're a sinner before God, like all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. Look to Calvary. Remember what we were reminded of on Good Friday. That there on that cross, Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, took all the guilt of our sin. And when we come and we confess our sin to him, he is faithful and he is just and he will forgive us our sin. And the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Come by faith and receive from him the inheritance that he has purchased for us. Wonderful thing about the scripture is, and about the Savior is this, he said that he made this invitation. He says, come to me all who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he said, him who comes to me, I will not cast away. Revelation says, 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. There's an open invitation from the lips of the Savior. His arms are outstretched, inviting you today, if you have never experienced his great salvation, to come and receive from him this great gift. It's a gift. It's real. It's life-changing. It's an inheritance awaiting you if you will come in God's way. Oh, may God bless you, and may God bless this church and bless your pastor as you labor together. And I pray that if you're here and you don't know Jesus, or if you're not sure, that you'll not leave this place today until you know that Jesus is yours and he's going with you. Our loving Heavenly Father, I just thank you this morning for the great joy of sharing together in your word. Oh God, what a blessed privilege it is to be a Christian. What a thrill it is to know Jesus. And I pray that you will bless your word to us now, Lord. Oh God, I pray that you will speak on to our hearts and lead us each one closer to yourself. And just to lead those who don't know you, Lord, to Jesus, we ask.